Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you playing an open with music about feet again because of Antonio Brown, or is that just a coinkydink? The song Footloose, is that supposed to be jogging memories of Antonio Brown's frozen feet on my TV sets here in studio? Or was that just an accident, Dave? Fess up.
That was an accident.
Oh, so it wasn't you actually trying to remind me that Brown has gross feet.
No, and it is actually gross because I finally saw it when you saw it before, like an hour ago or whatever that was. That's hideous.
I feel as though TVs and TV networks should be putting up warnings. You know how very often they will say to you, either an anchor will say to you, or they'll put something on the screen, look away if you don't want to see it, this is gruesome, they give you a warning.
Images of right. Graphic nature.
Exactly. So why don't we get that same caveat before we see Antonio Brown's feet staring at us on camera?
I don't know, but I almost threw up on producer Chris when I saw it.
Gross. Oh my gosh, I think I would have thrown up if I had seen that on the other side of the double pane glass. Thank God the smell would not be able to reach me here in studio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On that note, well, good morning to you too. It's a Tuesday. It's a Twizzler Tuesday, and we're asking you about Dak Prescott. Regardless of what you believe about his contract demands and stipulations, I have no trouble believing that Dak and his agent turned down the $30 million a year offer from the Dallas Cowboys. That seems like a reasonable starting point. But of course, Russell Wilson is making $35 million a year. He has set the standard as the NFL's highest paid player. The part about the $40 million a year ask, I don't believe. And I'm not suggesting that Jane Slater of NFL.com, who confirmed it, made it up. She got it from a source, whether it's a reliable source, whether it's some type of smoke and mirrors, whether it's one side or the other leaking that information out there to sway public opinion. All of those things are possibility. I do not believe that that's actually what Dak's asking for. And there have been conflicting reports about that part of what we saw and heard on Monday. There are a variety of reasons why the Cowboys are not giving Dak Prescott $40 million a year, and none of them have to do with whether or not you think he's an above-average quarterback, though that seems to be the debate that we're having on social media, as well as some of you who've called the show. That part actually doesn't matter at all. There are other reasons why Dak Prescott's not making $40 million a year and why I don't believe that he's actually asked for that. Number one, it's not business savvy. Why would you jump? Let's just say for the sake of argument, and I don't actually believe this either, but let's just say for the sake of argument, the Cowboys are planning on making him the highest paid player in NFL history. Jerry Jones has been vocal about making him the highest paid player in franchise history, but never the highest paid in the NFL. But even if you believe that that's on the table, there's no way that a businessman of Jerry Jones' acumen or Stephen Jones, there's no way they're going to jump an extra $5 million from the current highest paid quarterback in the NFL. That makes absolutely no business sense, especially when you also have to pay your top wide receiver as well as your star running back, who is currently holding out. Also, it makes no sense to believe the $40 million a year ask when you consider that Dak's agent reportedly threw out $34 million a year as the average annual salary. That was the ask in June. So why would all of a sudden they jump to 40? That makes zero sense. So I don't believe the 40. I'm not saying anyone erroneously reported, only that I don't believe that's an accurate number. Somebody's using someone else to put information out there. So yeah, it can certainly be a smoke screen. Dak Prescott will likely end up somewhere in the top five among QBs. We know the Cowboys have made initial offers to Cooper, Elliott, and Prescott that all would all have them among or near the top five at their position. They hope to get these deals done before training camp ends, before the regular season begins. But if not, they're still not going to break the bank just to get these guys and their contracts signed. I mean, Stephen Jones even said if they have to go through the season without Dak Prescott having signed a contract extension, they're willing to do it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You've already heard about Antonio Brown. I hope you heard my conversation with Steve Tasker, or at least part of it, the longtime Bills Pro Bowler, All Pro. It's different, right? The longtime Bills All Pro. He joined us last hour from South Carolina, and we asked him about helmets and helmet fits and the safety concerns of the NFL, which are different from when he played in the 90s. The 90s are back, you know. So if you missed that conversation, you can get it on our podcast, afterhoursamielawrence.com, or you can subscribe to it on radio.com, which is the free app. But Antonio Brown lost his grievance. The arbitrator was reportedly sensitive to his concerns about switching helmets, but firmly denied him the ability to continue wearing his old helmet. He put it out on Instagram. All right, I'll be joining the team soon. I'm looking forward to getting back out there. Thanks so much for your concern about my feet. Oh, heavens. So with that in mind, we're going to transition because one other star player in the NFL has also spoken out about switching helmets.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Have the off-season blues?
Blake Bortles delivers to his tight end.
Mariota drop. Fires downfield. It's caught to the five, to the end zone. Oh, my goodness.
How about the Hail Mary from Winston?
He's to the five. He's in for the touchdown.
What a play by Manning.
Rodgers.
In the end zone.
Time for QB News on After Hours.
Our new home in the Boston area, 93.7 FM WEEI, has a weekly appearance by New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady on the Greg Hill Show, which is the morning show there on WEEI. Follows us here on CBS Sports Radio. And of course, Greg asked him about switching to a new helmet because he was one of those few players, the handful of players in the NFL who had that grace period, but ultimately have to change helmets going into 2019.
They kind of spoke to me last year about it, and I've been experimenting with a couple different ones, and I don't really love the one that I'm in, but you know, I don't really have much of a choice, so I'm just trying to do the best I can to work with it. My last helmet, you know, I wore in the last four Super Bowls, you know, so it was a pretty great helmet for me. And I hated to put it on the shelf, but, you know, that was kind of what they said to do. So kind of what I'm dealing with, and I'm working with something else.
I appreciate that Tom Brady reminds us he didn't have a choice. The NFL has got rules, mandates, safety regulations. They let everybody know that these helmets would be phased out, would no longer be allowed under the new rules. And so as much as he is not a big fan of the new helmet he's using, this is how I got to do it. So I'm working on it. I'm working with it. Again, Tom Brady, Patriots quarterback on our new home in Boston, 93.7 WEEI. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Staying in the AFC East, our New York affiliate, WFAN, was out at Jets training camp on Monday. And I happened on my way home to catch the conversation with Sam Darnold, who was there on the set with them, and spent some time talking about the adjustments from year one to year two. Also spent time talking about his new head coach and Adam Gase, and praised Gase, not for those eyes that burn a hole in your head, but praised him for the energy and the fact that he's always got energy and exuberance and enthusiasm, and that he lives, breathes, eats, sleeps football, which we know after watching him with the smelling salts on the sidelines during their first preseason game. But yes, Sam Darnold, very complimentary of Adam Gase and his offense.
It was great, man. He's super calm when he's in the headset. Super calming, and, you know, he just gives the plays, and every now and then after he gives the play, he'll give me a little tip and reminder for that play. That's really nice.
So Adam Gase, one change for the Jets on the offensive side of the ball, obviously as the head coach, but he was brought in to work with Sam Darnold specifically. And then Greg Williams, most recently of the Cleveland Browns, now on the defensive side of the ball for the New York Jets. And Sam told our New York affiliate, WFAN, that it's actually helping him to have Greg on the coaching staff as well.
It's gotten a lot easier. I think that comes with studying, but also seeing defenses every day in practice. Greg brings a lot of different defenses, a lot of different blitzes. So it's good to see him practice, but I think just with experience, you know, only a year of experience, I've gotten so much better at reading defenses.
So Sam Darnold making that jump from year one to year two, better command on the speed of the NFL, reading defenses he talks about. But obviously he's going into a new system here with Adam Gase, so having to learn his second playbook in 2 years. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. In the world of running a system, even though Pat Mahomes has been in the league longer, the reigning MVP is going into just his second full year as the starter for the Kansas City Chiefs. And Andy Reid says he continues to develop as a quarterback, even though he's already an MVP.
He's been challenged with the different plays that have been added and then some of the fundamental things that he's working on. But when I tell you he loves that stuff, he loves being coach. He wants to be coached hard. EB does a great job with him. Mike does a great job with him, challenging him, and he thrives on that stuff.
Interestingly enough, Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs are bucking the trend when it comes to QB starters, but just starters in general playing in the preseason, because he's going out there and he's playing more than one series, playing multiple series, and he's enjoying that time out there. And they'll take the risk of him getting hurt. I mean, they're not thinking about that. You never want to think about that, though it is always a possibility whenever you step on a football field. But they want him to get more time. They want to be able to throw wrinkles in the offense and see how he adjusts. And gosh, I mean, seems like that's when Pat Mahomes is at his best. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We know there's a lot of creativity for Kyler Murray, the overall number one draft pick, the rookie for the Arizona Cardinals. He had just the one preseason game under his belt, but he was crisp, he was mobile, he was elusive. Lots of praise for him in that Cliff Kingsbury offense. And he says he's pretty confident and comfortable now after just that one preseason game, knowing that this offense is going to work.
For me, I kind of know what it looks like. So, yeah, I know it'll work against teams. It's hard to prepare for this, you know, what we will do, you know, when the season comes. But right now, I mean, it's not like we're not running, you know, our offense. It's part of it is our offense, but, like, at the same time, we're not doing, you know, we're not game planning anybody right now. We're just going out there and trying to execute what he calls. But I have confidence in it. And, you know, obviously right now, like you said, we're not really giving everybody the full thing, but I think when we get out there, you know, full speed, moving around, it'll be good.
So Kyler Murray with the one preseason game under his belt, and was it one series of a preseason game under his belt, and this time of the year, you're trying to be really cryptic, play your cards close to the vest when it comes to offense. You want to keep it really vanilla, especially when you're doing joint practices with other teams. You don't want everybody to know what you're running or to get a glimpse any earlier than you have to give it to them. And so, yeah, they're not running the full complement of plays and options. But as he points out, as more of a college system and a college offense, he and Cliff Kingsbury are dialing it up, something that's difficult to prepare for if you're not familiar with it. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got a poll up about Dak Prescott and his money. Never touch the money. And then also on our Facebook page, I'm trying to keep up, but it's, you're blowing it up. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Thanks for tuning in. Happy Tuesday morning to you. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
swung and drilled deep left center field. This ball is off the wall or gone. It is gone. He's done it. Career home run number 200. A walk-off game winner for Santana.
I mean, he has come up so big for us. He's been so consistent. You know, right when you get punched in the stomach, he takes a swing like that. I mean, that was a gorgeous swing. I mean, he just, I mean, and it's, I know the last 2 days, but I mean, he's been doing it all year.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Last week we were talking about walk-up music, and Terry Francona's got Eminem blaring in the clubhouse in the background like it's his walk-up music. they're two odd fellows right there. But Terry Francona has done a masterful job guiding the Indians to the top of the AL Central, and Carlos Santana providing the fireworks the last two nights. Though, as Terry points out, his 26th home run, 71 RBI on the season, so he's been clutch for them for quite a while. And this run that they're on goes back to early June. Tom Hamilton with the call of the walk-off dinger on the Indians radio network. So here are the deets. They are now a half game up in the AL Central. That's crazy, because as recently as June 3rd, the Twins had an 11.5 game lead in that division. Gosh, I tell you this all the time about baseball. Anything can and will happen. The season is that long. Heck, you can start planning for 2020 because baseball's already released its schedule for next year, which is weird, but okay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Or you can find me on Twitter as well as on our Facebook page. Many of you weighing in about the Dak Prescott question. So with the Indians trailing by double figures in terms of the AL Central and the games back, that goes back to 9 weeks ago. Since then, best record in the majors. And I keep updating it every time they win. Now 43-17 since June 4th. And so if you're talking about playing your best baseball at the right time, and remember, this is without major pieces of their starting rotation. So their bats have been able to overcome, but they've also gotten incredible pitching from Shane Bieber specifically. So the Indians are a great story to watch, along with what we've seen from the Dodgers and the Astros. We've talked about the Mets, who did not play on Monday, nor did the Astros, actually. They were postponed because of weather with the Chicago White Sox. The Yankees, as long as they continue to play the Baltimore Orioles, they're going to continue to rack up wins. I say stop the fight. I don't need to see any more Yankees-Orioles games in 2019.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It went over the visitors' bullpen and about five rows up in the bleachers. Wow! I never dreamt that he had that power. Gio Urshela, the most happy fella. Swung on and hit in the air to deep left field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. He's done it again. Another three-run home run for Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Day, he is the Gleyber of the month. He hits a three-run blast.
Maybe it's just me, but what exactly is a Gleyber of the month? Is that supposed to be a flavor of the month? Supposed to be another play on the whole Labor Day thing? Okay, either way. Here's the thing. You don't actually need a quirky call because his production, especially against the Orioles, speaks for itself. Gleyber of the month. Is that more like an insult than it is a compliment? You're just the flavor of the month. That's what my friends and I used to call, like, if you have a guy who's a player and a chick who thinks, oh, I'll be the one that he really settles down with. I'll be the one who changes his ways. And we used to call her the flavor of the month. I mean, I don't know that I feel like that's a compliment for Gleyber Torres. Anyway, the looks I'm getting right now from the other side of the double pane glass. Apparently, you guys have never had that type of a conversation with your friends. You've never, like, use the flavor of the month to talk about just the latest girlfriend or boyfriend?
Nope, never.
Oh, well, you learn something new every day.
No, Dave's out of his mind. I've heard that expression before.
Thank you. So then it doesn't actually feel like a compliment to me, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No, if you call somebody the flavor of the week, you're saying that they're passing by. It's like a ship in the night. That's
kind of what I do to producers. You just happen to be the flavor of the month right now as the After Hours producer. Now, see, now boy. Dave is nodding.
That was funny.
I'm sure that you will leave me before I will leave you, Chris. That's what happens here. I chase him off pretty quickly. Flavor of the Glaber of the month. That's John Sterling on the Yankees Radio Network. Here are the dirty deets if you're an Orioles fan. Oh, 14 straight losses against the Yankees. 59 home runs surrendered against the guys in pinstripes. Just them. I mean, the Orioles are setting all kinds of records for the number of home runs given up this year, but 59 to the Yankees alone in their games. And then this is how bad it's gotten with Gleyber Torres, who had a pair of three-run homers and six RBI before he came to the dish in the eighth inning. So in the eighth inning, there are runners on first and second. What are you guys talking about? I'm seeing all three of you, including Brad Heller, nodding and like having a conversation. So now I want to know what we're talking about. Come on. Out with it. Unless, of course, it's not fit for family radio. Wait, are you serious? You're having a conversation on my show that's not fit for family radio that I'm the only one who's not a part of?
I didn't say that.
Huh. But I don't hear anybody fessing up. Brad?
Good morning.
Huh. I don't like this conversation at all. So you're not going to tell me then what you were talking about.
I wasn't talking about anything.
Brad, what did you say?
I wasn't paying attention to your stats.
All I said is that I have one of those stats in my update.
I don't believe you. Otherwise, Chris wouldn't be hiding behind his computer screen.
No, that's God's honest truth. That's what he said.
Okay. Then why are the three of you all nodding like you're very conspiratorial?
We were just nodding in agreement that that's going to be used in the update coming up momentarily.
Hmm.
I was also getting a song about the flavor of the week that I was going to drop in, but I think the moment has passed.
Oh. No, it might still apply to you as the producer. Okay, so anyway, distraction for Orioles fans. In the eighth inning, there were two guys on base, and rather than surrender another three-run home run to Gleyber Torres, the Orioles chose to walk the bases loaded. So that's how bad it's gotten. Great for the Yankees. They keep padding their lead atop the AL East on the backs of the hapless O's. I don't know if the season can end too quickly for Orioles fans, but maybe this is the start of something great. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll take your calls about the Dak Prescott thingy. Or Antonio Brown. I wonder what he means by soon. How soon will he be returning to training camp in Napa? Because soon is relative. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Cowboys down 3-0, but on the move. Rams will blitz. Picked up. Prescott throwing over the middle. Cooper on a slant at the 15. Cooper to the 10 to the right sideline of the 5. And he'll walk into the end zone for the touchdown. Amari Cooper with his first career playoff touchdown. And it gives the Cowboys a 6-3 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Kevin Kugler on Westwood One, Dallas Cowboys football. It's a real good possibility that Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, the Cowboys organization will get all three of those guys locked into new deals. I don't know what the timing will be, but I would imagine that triumvirate stays in place. And yes, I'm using the word triumvirate loosely, but it's important for Dak, for Zeke, for Amari Cooper, for those guys to have the deals. The Jones family wants them to have contracts, wants them to stay put so they can sail forward into a season in which they are the defending NFC East champions. However, that's the part that is where the business savvy and the business shrewdness comes in, because you have to pay all three. Zeke still has 2 years left on his deal, but he's choosing to hold out now, which means it becomes prominent for the Cowboys in their front office. They've got to be creative. But Stephen Jones, In his recent appearance on 105.3 The Fan, our Dallas affiliate said this is just about the numbers. It's about having multiple guys you have to pay and only so much money and only so much room under the salary cap. So I do not believe that Dak's camp is asking for $40 million per year in average annual salary. It would be a waste of time because that's not happening. A, it's not reasonable. B, it makes zero business sense. And C, you've got three guys that have to be paid all at the same time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Dak Prescott is 32-16 as a starter, but most of those games have been with Ezekiel Elliott next to him in the backfield. They've all come with that strong offensive line, for the most part intact, especially his rookie season. His career passer rating is just a tick below 100. And the reports going back to June are that his agent kind of threw out $34 million per year. That was June, so 2 months ago. Just yet another piece of information that doesn't jive with the $40 million a year ask. I certainly understand that sometimes athletes and agents shoot for the moon. The worst that the team can say is no. The worst that an employer can say is no. But to go from $34 million in June to $40 million just suddenly in August, again, seems to make zero sense. Let's talk to Javier, who's in Texas. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Well, I have like two things that I really wanted to talk to you about. One's about Dak Prescott, and the other one is about Antonio with the helmet. So whichever one you want to talk about first.
You can go ahead with Dak. We were talking about Dak, so go ahead.
Yeah. I feel like Dak, I don't believe the $40 million on the sources. I don't believe that. That is unreasonable beyond any attentions. And like the guy, I've been listening since like 2 in the morning. The guy earlier was talking
yes.
about how he feels like Dak Prescott is a team player, kind of like Tom Brady-ish, where he doesn't want to be like the most paid player. He's okay with being in the top five. And I feel like he'd probably settle, and the Cowboys might find middle grounds with what you'd like around 34 or even 33 mil.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, right now, Matt Ryan is fifth at 30, exactly 30 million per year. Is it crazy that he's fifth, right, on the list? And so there's a good pocket there between Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan. There are five quarterbacks right there in that extra $5 million range. And I would say Jerry Jones has been pretty vocal, and Stephen Jones too, about making Dak the highest paid player in franchise history, but they're not looking to make him the highest paid player in the NFL all time. And I would agree. Now, I don't know Dak personally. I've never spoken to him, but I would agree that there's got to be some understanding. He's a smart guy. He wants to win. There's got to be understanding that he's not the only one who needs to be paid right now.
Yeah, and I feel like even with what Ezekiel is happening now, I feel like he might even be settling around like 32, 33.
We'll see.
So I feel like he would probably be, I feel like he sees like everybody on the team, Amari Cooper and everything, and he just wants to make sure that the team is Super Bowl ready and they've take one and everything would be set.
Yeah, no, I would agree. It'd be better for them to take care of it now. And certainly to understand the priorities that for Deke and Zach, the offense runs so much better when they're both out there. But also thinking about last season, how much the offense took off and really became a force to be reckoned with, really found a good rhythm after they traded for Amari Cooper. So all three of those pieces are critical.
And one thing about like the Cowboys is when you were in Cuba, I think, while you're on your vacation, I was listening to your sub, and how he thinks, this was a while ago, but I'm pretty sure he said he thinks that they'll be able to negotiate with, like, all three, like, not, I don't think, like, all at once, but, like, negotiate where they probably get something down with Ezekiel, where they pay him a little bit, not fully, but, like, halfway full, or, like, 75%, where he can be happy and come back to camp. And everything would be ready before season starts.
Yeah, that certainly would be ideal, right, is to make sure that it's done. But who knows? I mean, sometimes deadlines spur action, so we'll see what happens the closer we get to the regular season. What do you think about Antonio Brown and the helmet issue?
All right. I feel like that personal preference should be under what job requirements. I mean, like Tom Brady said, how he didn't like having to switch the helmets, but he understood that it's safer and what the NFL says to have is what to have. And I just don't agree how the grievance that he put in, I just don't really agree with it. I listened when you were talking to, good with names.
Steve Tasker.
Yeah, Steve. Mm-hmm. And how I understand like the personal like feeling of it. I mean, I played a little bit of football back in 10th and 11th grade, and
good for
I understand
you.
The change in helmets and everything, mm-hmm. and how it was so weird feeling it, and how it like felt really tight. And I understand it. Like people need to, they feel more attached because they're so used to it. They grew with it, and they're like their beginning, or even when they're at their greatest. But I feel like once the NFL says something, you kind of have to go with it because right now it's just a bad time for NFL with everything that's been going on with the charges and people getting suspended. And I feel like the NFL made the right choice of declining the grievance.
Yeah, I agree. And it was an arbitrator, but the NFL and the NFLPA were certainly part of the conference call. I don't really think, as you pointed out, Tom Brady said he doesn't have any other choice but to go with NFL-regulated helmets. And I don't think that the NFL had any other choice, realistically. The arbitrator didn't either. If he wanted to be an arbitrator for the NFL again, he definitely did not. I mean, this is a campaign that Roger Goodell and the league has been standing on now for years, with research and rules changes and new regulations to make the game safer and to prevent, as much as possible, repeated concussions and the injuries that come with hits to the head. And so, yeah, I would agree with you. This is the right decision, and they really didn't have any choice other than this one if they were going to toe this line that they've been drawing in the sand. Javier, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate all your time spent listening.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Have a great day in Texas.
You too.
855-212-4227. That's how you can find us on the phones, toll free. And then also on our Facebook page or on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Justin says how sad it is that talent doesn't matter when talking about paying someone record money. Again, it depends on what you believe. If you believe that Dax Camp is asking for $40 million a year, I don't happen to believe that. I think it's a smokescreen. But I mean, Justin, that's true. It's not that these guys aren't talented. There are only so many quarterbacks who can competently run an NFL offense. If what you want is Patrick Mahomes, well, then Dak Prescott's not your guy. If what you want is someone who can chuck and duck, well, he can do that every now and then, but that's not his style. And that's not the Cowboys' style. That's why they want to lock Zeke up, because they want to be a team that's run first behind a stout offensive line. And I know that the phrase game manager gets thrown around as an insult in many cases, but if you're good at it and you protect the football and you don't turn it over and you move your team up and down the field and you're not the only weapon on the offense, it's actually better for your team if you can sport multiple weapons. And so, I don't think that Dak Prescott is a top five quarterback in the league, but I also don't think he's bottom five. I mean, I feel like the idea of him being able to command the offense with other skilled players behind a really good offensive line is a formula that most teams in the NFL would take. And as I always say to you about quarterbacks, I mean, we had a caller earlier who said he sat in his car while he was listening and he listed 19 quarterbacks he'd rather take than, or he'd rather pay than than Dak Prescott. And I asked him how many of them are available. And there was this big pause. Only Alex Smith, he's actually not available, at least not right now, because he's not healthy enough to play. So that's the idea. It's the devil you know or the devil you don't know. Pardon the phrase, but it makes my point perfectly. You can pay the guy that's already in your system, and you can pay him market value. You can pay him the going rate, and you can have the continuity and you can have the consistency. You already know what you're getting with Dak Prescott. There's no mystery. And certainly he can improve and get better and will. Maybe potentially there'll be some changes because of the way that they've altered their coaching staff on the offensive side of the ball and also having a number one wide receiver. Or you can start fresh and then you can end up in Denver Broncos purgatory because that's the team I think of. Same thing with the Washington Redskins while we're talking about quarterbacks. So they couldn't get a deal done with Kirk Cousins and now they've had a couple of years of trying to find the replacement. And I know the Alex Smith injury threw a wrench into things, but Alex Smith was a stopgap anyway. They traded for him with the Chiefs because they wanted to kind of bridge that gap to the next quarterback of the future. So now they hope it's Dwayne Haskins, but he's not ready right now. And we know quarterback is the most important position on the field. And so as long as you've got transition there, and as long as you've got turnover, the lack of stability hurts your offense. The Denver Broncos are a much better example. And this is actually the second time they've had to replace a Hall of Fame QB, and it's come with struggles. So Peyton Manning retires after Super Bowl 50. The four quarterbacks who started games after him are no longer with the team. So there are four different starting quarterbacks. You can name them. You don't need me to. None of them are future Hall of Famers, and none of them are still with the team. Now they've got all new guys. And maybe Drew Lock is the QB of the future. But for right now, it's another stopgap measure with Joe Flacco. Even if he is a franchise quarterback, he's only a franchise quarterback for now. And so you pay the guy you have. And in the case of Dak Prescott, maybe you catch a break because he's not set on being the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. He wants market value. He wants to be paid commensurate with the other peers at his position. But the Cowboys are better off paying him, even if it is $33, $34 million, than they are rolling the dice. I mean, think about it. Dak Prescott was not a first-round QB. He wasn't a highly touted prospect. They kind of stumbled into it because of Tony Romo's injuries. But now they're comfortable with the guy. Now he's the guy they want to pay. And they're better off paying him than starting over fresh. Because let's be honest. It's a crapshoot in the draft. Sure, there are quarterbacks who are coming out in upcoming seasons. You kind of hope that there's going to be the Tua and Trevor Lawrence star power. But even so, you'd have to be one of the top teams drafting, or you'd have to move up. So you pay Dak, and you then can address other positions because you don't have to worry about switching over to someone new at the most important position on the field. So it's a... You know, it's better to have him than to have a mystery, which is where the Cowboys are. But of course, they're not paying him $40 million a year. That's redonkulous. All right, we're back tonight for our hump show. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.